As believers, how do we ensure that we'll be part of the glorious company in Hebrews 12? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Do you like free stuff? We've got some free materials available for you on our website. I'll come back at the end to tell you how to access them. As for right now, though, we've got Dr. Ken Yates in the studio with Sean and Bob, and we are currently in a series called Partners with Christ. Let's listen in to today's discussion at the Grace in Focus Studios.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. Let's get right into it.
Let's go.
What do you think about that,
Bob? I'm ready.
No, none of this banter.
No banter.
None of this kind of dialoguing back and forth.
No,
and I'm just following you guys. So wherever you go, I'm going with you.
Ken, here we go, because this is the last section before the fifth and final warning in
the book.
Yes,
it is.
So this is an important section leading up to the warning.
All right. Verse 18 says this in Hebrews chapter 12. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. Well, that's a reference, obviously, to Sinai, right?
Absolutely, which fits with the book of Hebrews very well, where the author is comparing what Christ has done for us versus the old covenant, the law of Moses was given there at Mount Sinai.
Exodus chapter 20.
Yes.
Verse 20. For they cannot endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. So this is not what Christ brings. He doesn't bring that type of religion. I mean, what's his point?
Obviously, he's comparing the old with what Christ has brought. And as he's talking about the old, he's talking about how one of the things he's talking about is how difficult it was to come into the presence of God. When he, using an anthropomorphism, descended upon Mount Sinai, we see the descriptions here that it was a terrifying thing, that there was blackness. I take the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet, probably angelic sounds that were coming out there, the voice of words, we're told, the thunder that was going on there, the smoke. And as the author reminds us, even if a beast were to touch the mountain, the beast was to be killed, an animal, for example. But of course, as he has told us in the book of Hebrews, that's not the way it is for us. We can boldly come into God's presence.
It's almost like he's reminding them of how scary the religion is that they're tempted to go back to.
Yes. And also connected to this, you're right. Why would you want to go back to that when we have this available to us? But also, there's this idea that's running through here that when God speaks, he needs to be obeyed. You need to listen to what he has to say. And that was true under the old covenant. It's certainly true when he's spoken to us in his son.
Now, but there's also a little bit, isn't there, here of what we see in Isaiah 6, where when Isaiah sees the Lord lifted up, oh, woe am I am a man of unclean lips, mm-hmm. right? And he's humbled before the presence of the Lord. And you see this, of course, Thomas saying, my Lord and my God, when he sees the risen Lord. And there's lots of this reverence for the Lord that goes beyond the old covenant to the new covenant.
Yes, and he's just talked about the fact that we should value the spiritual blessings, if you will, that are available to us. We need to take these things seriously. We need to have a reverent awe of these things, mm-hmm. if you will. If they had that reverent awe at Sinai, how much more should we?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
But you, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. So not Mount Sinai. You've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And hey, that might refer back to the Father of Spirits, don't you think?
Yeah.
To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Okay, let's go back to verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. Okay, why is he talking about Zion?
Well, he's comparing the two mountains, Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. And here in Jerusalem, the temple was on Mount Zion, and it represents the presence of God. And again, I think he's comparing the presence of God at Mount Sinai versus the presence of God that we have. Christ is in the heavenly Holy of Holies, so that is the real presence of God. And he is comparing the privileges that we have with those who are at Sinai. And so this reference to the heavenly Jerusalem, which was where the temple was, he is talking about the fact that, again, as we go back where Christ has entered into the heavenly Holy of Holies, the real thing that Moses saw on Mount Sinai, that is where our high priest is ministering.
Is that the place that's going to come down? Does the heavenly Jerusalem come to earth at some point? I don't, that seems to ring a vague bell with me.
Well, Revelation 21, 1 through 3, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and he also sees the new Jerusalem coming down out of the new heavens to earth. Mm-hmm. And so eventually it will, but this may well refer to the fact that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you,
mm-hmm.
and that could be the new Jerusalem.
Yes, I'm curious to know, I have a question if I could ask you all. Do you see the New Jerusalem as being the dwelling place of the metakoi, of the partners, or of the church? I'm just curious.
Right, we just got some emails about that, and some people were saying, one friend of ours was saying that the New Jerusalem will be the dwelling place of the overcomers.
Yes.
Zane Hodges held the view, if I remember correctly, that the New Jerusalem is going to be so enormous that it will allow for every single person on earth to have a condo there, and that we will live and minister wherever. Let's say if you spent your life, let's say, as a missionary in China, you might minister in the new China. If you spent your life ministering in the States, maybe, let's say, in Texas, then maybe you'll be in the new Texas. But the point is, your primary residence might be in China or in Texas, but you're going to be visiting the New Jerusalem for festivals and things. Well, it certainly makes sense that the overcomers would be doing that, and maybe all believers. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I think this is an example of how, even when we don't have all the details of rewards, it's tantalizing, isn't it, to think about it, this city that's going to come down.
Well, you know, there are references in Revelation to the fact that only the overcomers can enter the New Jerusalem through the gates.
Through the gates, right.
Now, do the other people get to enter some other way? Well, we're not told. So one speculation is the New Jerusalem is reserved for overcomers or maybe Jewish believers, but not for the nations, that the nations will be around the earth unless they're overcomers.
I remember being in the military and working in buildings, and the commanders had certain entryways that they could go through, and we weren't allowed to. And that's what it reminds me of when I read that verse in Revelation.
Right. Yes.
It's like how you always make me enter your house through the back door.
Well, that's
not coming through the front door.
No, that is not true.
Or the
Sean.
Garage. You're like, go through the garage.
You're making this up.
So we're getting a millennial timeshare, or this is an eternal timeshare in New Jerusalem. Is that what it's like?
I think this is eternal. I don't think, now they're different views. The old dispensational view was the New Jerusalem circles the earth during the millennium, and the glorified saints are up in this satellite city, and that doesn't come to earth until after Revelation chapter 20, so after the millennium.
And the Jewish believers are on the earth. Is that the
yes.
old dispensation? Yeah, that's the way I understand
and
it.
Gentile, but sure. But you would have Jesus in the New Jerusalem. He wouldn't even be on earth. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
To me, the New Jerusalem isn't coming down until Revelation 21, 1-3, after the millennium. So we're not going to live there during the millennium. We'll live on earth. And there'll be a regular Jerusalem during the millennium.
Hmm. Verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, what is that?
Well, I find this verse very interesting. First off, depending on your translation, how did your translation read the first word to the
general assembly?
A general assembly. The word is, the Greek word has the idea of a celebration, an assembly that is celebrating. And it seems to me that when he calls it the church of the firstborn, the assembly of the firstborn, that he's talking about the metakoi, that he's referring to a festive a celebration of those who are overcomers.
And by the way, you know, when you read the word church, that doesn't always refer to the body of Christ. Church is used different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it refers to Israel in the wilderness. Sometimes it refers to the body of Christ. And maybe this is a different assembly of people, like
yes,
you say.
Like, for example, in Acts, when the city meets together to protest against Paul, that's called an ecclesia as well. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I think what he is talking about is, again, those who are enrolled or registered in the heavens. I remember when I visited the Pentagon when I was still on active duty in the Army, there is something they call the Hall of Heroes. And even though I was a soldier, and I'd been a soldier for 20 years, I was not registered in that Hall of Heroes. There was a list of names in this hall of people who won the Medal of Honor, for example. These were the bravest of the brave, the overcomers in the military, the heroes of our military. And I think that's exactly what he's talking about here, is that in heaven there is a register of those who belong to the Hall of Faith, for example, of Hebrews chapter 11, and that we have the opportunity as believers to do that. And the assembly of that group is going to be one of festivities and celebration.
To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. That could refer to the Father of Spirits issue we were talking about.
Yes, and I think the have been made perfect, again, the context of Hebrews, is those who have finished well, those who have reached that goal of being the firstborn, this registry of the heroes of faith. And so this is another tantalizing picture of what it's going to be like to be one of the medicoi, to be one of those who reign with Christ.
And last verse, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So that's most important. They're coming to Jesus, right? Jesus is the source of all of this.
Yeah, and I think the main point of verse 24 is that the blood of Abel cried out for vengeance, but the blood of Christ is one that provides mercy and grace to all those who prevail of it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ken. This is fantastic. And tomorrow in the next show, we're going to take a look at the beginning of the fifth and final warning passage in Hebrews. Hold fast. The Lord's coming soon. And if you remain faithful, then you will be partners with Christ forever.
Thanks, Sean, Bob, and Ken, for that great discussion about how we can be part of that glorious company, those who reign with Christ. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. In the next episode, we're going to explore further the fifth of the warning passages in Hebrews, so tune in for that. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.